Greetings, you lovely $5 backer you. It's Kevin and Joe here. Hello.
Hello.
And we're here today to talk about the Red Hot show. Ow! Oh my God, I burnt it just by even thinking about touching about this Red Hot show. It's Survivor Series 2021.
Everyone's been talking about it. It's on the tip of everyone's lips.
All right, guys, calm down in the comments. I know everyone is just clamoring for more Survivor Series action.
It's gone viral.
It's definitely the talk of the wrestling town. And you know it's the talk of the wrestling town where my mind, every time one of these pay-per-views comes along now, that doesn't feel very built or hot in any way, that my mind just puts it in the Thunderdome. Mm. Like, it took until match one when I actually saw the audience to remember that these cold shows with no story and no consequence are happening in front of paying audience.
That's the thing I don't understand, is that people will pay, and not just pay, but they will pay $80 plus.
Oh, yeah. Did you see how much they were charging for wrestling in Manchester? It was around that.
I mean, yeah, it's always been expensive to go see WWE. It just is. It's really expensive.
Ah, well, sure. It's such a cheap night out, you know, that the tickets, it makes up for it, doesn't it? Like, because, you know, you don't mind spending a bit of money on the tickets when everything else about going to see wrestling is so cheap and affordable.
Yeah,
right?
Like the food and the travel and, you know, where you stay. And
all that good
stuff.
I'm
now just hearing myself say it and all those things are really expensive. So
if you were in Brooklyn, New York, looking to watch some wrestling tonight, you probably could have done a lot worse than going to see Survivor Series, which had a lot of very nice wrestling on it, of course. But I think a lot of people in the audience were perhaps expecting that The Rock may make an appearance.
Given,
we've not done an episode on The Rock, but it was very fortuitous, I thought, that we had done CM Punk right before this, and I don't think your opinions on The Rock are particularly high at the moment.
The Rock has never made a very good impression on me.
No, he's like that kind of guy everyone tells you is really great at a party.
But like everything you hear about him is like, why does anyone like him?
And every party you've been to with him, he's pretty much ruined.
Like just the 18 unprotected chair shots to Mick Foley's head in front of his wife and child. The stuff with CM Punk. There's the stuff in his autobiography about him pulling the guy's tongue out.
He's probably
tiny choked a woman.
Yeah, there's in terms of the big long list of like doing things that are no longer acceptable and saying things that are no longer acceptable, The Rock has pretty much got his plate full on both of those buffets.
Yeah.
So
I just, the icing on the cake, he came to, was it WrestleMania or SummerSlam or some pay-per-view we watched, and he fucking took over the whole show.
Oh, that was the WrestleMania that year with the flamethrower,
fucking flamethrower.
Yeah, yeah, you never forgave him for that.
I will never forgive him for that. He ruined that WrestleMania.
And did his alluded to presence and subsequent absence do anything with regards to Survivor Series 2021 for you?
I mean, I knew he wasn't going to be there.
What, he's
going
to miss Rock 25?
Like, it's Survivor Series. Like, I'm sorry to spoil this for everyone, but the budget for Survivor Series does not cover the expense
the Rock.
Of The Rock. It's literally the only way they will ever get him on WWE again is on WrestleMania. It's the only way they will ever be able to afford him.
Or like maybe something like, you know, they had him on the debut of SmackDown on Fox. If
right,
it's like a big
thing
like that, they might swing it. I don't think he'll show up to Saudi, because I think that his political ambitions, whatever it is they may or may not be, I think he knows that one way or the other it's probably best for him not to go there and wrestle The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia.
And, you know, he doesn't need the money.
No, he doesn't.
Really, he doesn't. He only does things now that he wants to do.
But he is very, very fond of the audience interaction, and I think he likes to touch base now and then with WWE, and it wouldn't have been the most wild out of character thing for him to show up, except for I remember, God, it's way, way back. Like it was I remember it was around the time when we stopped having barbecues. That's how long ago it was. Where it came out where it's like literally, here's The Rock's filming schedule and here's the quarantine requirements. Mm. And even if he gets to play billionaire bullshit with quarantine requirements, he physically cannot be there.
No.
Like it's not a question of like the money's not good enough or the desire's not there. He just not possible.
There's only one The Rock.
Yes.
And he cannot time travel yet.
And he was busy doing things like creating new Netflix intellectual property movie experience event available now.
Red Notice.
This pay-per-view was put on notice because Red Notice was making us all notice that The Rock was definitely not there, but he is in Red Notice.
So Red Notice is this new Netflix movie with one of the Ryans. I forget which one. It's Gosling or Reynolds?
It's Reynolds. It's Ryan Reynolds and also Ryan Egg. There was also an egg there in,
no,
in the movie.
No, the egg
as well.
Isn't called Ryan.
Oh, it's Cleopatra's.
It's Cleopatra's egg.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just like this heist or robbery movie or something, and The Rock is in it, and
Quick Time Event, the movie.
And literally just like the start of this Survivor Series was like a promo package for the movie interspliced with like random wrestling clips.
Very random wrestling clips.
And like the inclusion of wrestling clips alone would be random, but they were like seemingly intentionally random clips that they chose.
We had this once before when we had Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
And that was an absolute fucking abomination of a crossover. And I'm not even saying that because of the involvement of zombies. I'm saying because it managed to make The Miz get injured for the first time in his career. Kudos, Army of the Dead. But this is the type of thing I think that Nick Khan, who's often the executive, has pointed out as being the guy who's getting these big money, in inverted commas, deals. But like, I don't begrudge a big wrestling company for doing that. When they had Space Jam and Ghostbusters, all these things they promote on AEW Dynamite, I think is great. I think,
did they actually get paid for that in AEW?
As far as I know, they did.
That's
amazing.
Because
it's Warner, you know, Turner and all that.
That's so cool.
But like, I think it's absolutely fine for a wrestling company to do that. Like, I have fond memories of shameless plugs being stuck in.
It just has to make sense, though.
The very fact that it was no doubt big money. Like, this was no doubt, like, 6-7 figures. It was exchanged hands. Why would you show, like, The Rock and Ryan Reynolds and going, well, this heist is not going to be easy. And then show, like, Randy Orton and Matt Riddle entering the ring.
Yeah.
And then show Matt Riddle getting an RKO from Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And then a helicopter explodes.
Yeah.
Like, those things, like, would you not be pissed if you were Netflix that they couldn't find more fitting things? Would you not want to get, like, the wrestlers watching the movie?
Yeah.
Or talking about the movie?
Or maybe, like, plan a Survivor Series storyline angle, which kind of mirrors the storyline of Red Notice.
Oh, Miss not happy about what she got on the show.
Or maybe, like, Ryan Reynolds could, like, be at Survivor Series.
Look, Ryan,
if he can't afford The Rock.
Ryan's not there, The Rock's not there, but we did have one thing that was peppered throughout this show. And it was a movie-relevant storyline. It is Joe's favorite evil, sexy character has appeared back on television.
How dare you?
Vince McMahon, can you when you're down? Vince McMahon showed up here tonight with his storyline.
He got out of his limo. There's a limo arriving, and we were all, because Adam watched on Skype with us.
You say that. He was there for like an hour, and then he went away.
Immediately
and
left.
You went like an hour later, so I was there fucking watching Survivor Series.
And then there was one.
On my, like, the difference between watching Full Gear on my own, going, oh, should I go wake up Joe so she can see Adam Page win the belt, and me watching Survivor Series on my own, going, oh, I wonder what happened with the egg on Monday Night Raw. Like,
so the limo arrives and we were like, oh, maybe it is The Rock. And I was like, no, it's definitely not going to be The Rock.
No, it's the egg, not
and
the
it
Rock.
It was Vince McMahon's bloated head. And he got out of the limo and everyone was cheering for him. All of the remaining talent were all told, you better cheer and clap for me and this
whoever
egg.
Claps the least gets fired.
And then out came this golden egg.
Which he then proceeded to bring Roman. Like, the thing was that made me start thinking about The Rock, even though I knew The Rock wasn't going to be here. Like, I knew it was physically impossible. But I thought that this was at least going to be, like, Rock adjacent, that they were making out, like, they were world building around Dwayne not being there.
Mm.
Because Vince called in Roman for no reason. Like, to see Vince and Roman interact, like, that's big. Like,
it was strange as well because, like, Roman is very much, like, the heel at the moment. And he seems, like, kind of anti-authority.
You said Heyman or the Usos in there. You sit down and you get summoned by Vince McMahon.
And it just, like, it made Vince McMahon seem really pathetic because he summoned in Roman. He's like, oh, I've got this awesome egg, Roman. It cost $100 million. And Roman Reigns is like, okay, can I go now?
What's your egg? Is, you know, The Rock, 25 years. Can't believe it.
It was
25 years.
Impossible to understand what he was saying.
There was a great confusion as to whether or not this egg was given to him by The Rock now to commemorate 25 years because of Vince's, like, honestly, the complete lack of diction that he has these days. There were some people who thought that The Rock gave him the egg 25 years ago.
Right.
On his, like, I've debuted, I'm so happy, here's an egg. You know,
look after that for me, and in 25 years, it'll hatch.
But it was later shown in the movie clips that this was in the movie.
Right.
So, like, The Rock was in that movie for real. Him and Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
And they got that egg and he gave it to Vince McMahon.
Yeah, but Vince McMahon said that the egg wasn't the egg in the movie. It wasn't a prop. It was the real egg.
I don't know. I have a feeling these two guys are trying to screw each other over where it's like, I tell you what, Rock, I'll sell you the whole thing, the whole XFL. But I'll need a credit note of some sort or something. Show that you're good for the money.
An IOU.
This egg, Vince, it's worth $100 million. And they're both like, sucker. That ain't worth $100 million. What you mean? Neither are worth $100 million. But they had the egg stolen, and Vince was like,
It was in a case. How could it even get stolen? It's a special
sleight of hand. And he revealed as well then that he wanted the entire roster to show up on Raw so he could have Pierce and Sonya interview him and find out who stole his damn egg. Now, I was really excited about that for one reason, because I thought anytime they're desperate and they bring Vince back as a character, it shows that they're at least in their minds trying to have a storyline, to get a rating. And Vince McMahon saying everyone's coming from Raw and SmackDown, like them all being in the ring, that made me excited as well. But it was the news apparently to the SmackDown roster that it realized that their travel was changed and they all had to be on Raw the following night.
Well, look, that's what happens in this company, okay? If Vince McMahon's precious golden egg gets stolen, you have to be ready a moment's notice to change, you know, all of your plans, especially so close to Christmas.
Well, we had our payoff on Raw. I can reveal to you now what happened. Was that it was revealed that Austin Theory had stolen the egg. Because Austin Theory wanted a selfie with the egg. You know, this is Austin Theory now as well. He's like obviously got, you know, lots of allegations about him about contacting minors. Now he's going for an egg. This is even
hatched.
That's crazy. Yeah. And this is what's even more dodgy. He said that he was scared that the security were around, so he took the egg back with him to his hotel room to get some selfies.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is like, all right, Austin Theory. And Vince McMahon said, I like your style, and gave him a title match against Big E. So Austin Theory is the man getting the push this month, folks. So
I hate it. I hate all of this so much.
So I just thought I should say it in case you had any worry or wonder about the hanging threads about the egg.
Genuinely the most intriguing storyline in WWE
The intriguing egg that was
egg. And then they ruined it immediately. They ruined it by solving the problem immediately and then also making an actual predator be the person and then rewarding him for his... I hate this company.
You know what it was? It was clearly, back in August, they had sketched it out. This is what we're going to do if The Rock shows up. Because you know if The Rock showed up tonight, no one would have given a fuck about an egg. It would have been The Rock going, la 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 la, an egg. Whoa, 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 whoa. And people would have loved it.
Yeah, I don't think the egg would have been stolen.
But then The Rock couldn't show up, so they thought, we'll just do it anyway. And like, the presence of The Rock, because he's never really left, it'll be enough to carry it through. And it sadly was not. So will the egg get referenced again if this is going to build to the inevitable Rock versus Roman Reigns storyline?
No.
But like, if you were a fan in the audience, you just shown up there. I mean, reasonably speaking, you would have assumed if you were not a wrestling podcaster or an avid fan, like a super avid fan, you wouldn't be forgiven for assuming he was going to show up at all the videos.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the point, isn't it?
Like, we got video of The Rock after pretty much every match here tonight.
Yeah. And we got Rocky chants.
People really want to see him.
Yeah.
You know? There was another thing I should point out as well that they did here tonight, which I actually thought was a really good shout. But the first one that they did was really badly placed. They had like two or three of these tonight. They did one for Big E, they did one for Bobby, and one for Drew.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, here's them, their story in 90 seconds, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Clips of them being badass.
Cutting a couple of promos, stuff like that.
I thought it was really, really cool.
It was really cool.
Particularly Bobby's one made him look like a goddamn monster. Like, it looked really, really good.
Yeah, Bobby's one was really cute, actually. I think you were in the kitchen when they showed a picture of him as a child.
Oh, he's
like
bubbling.
He's like 13 years old. I mean, I'm guessing he's 13. He might be five years old.
13 years old, he's defeated every member of the armed forces team.
He looked so cute. He was this little boy.
But the first one was Drew, and that came right after one of the like the Rock flashbacks.
Yeah, and it was like this video about The Rock and The Rock's career, and it was like, look how far he's come. Here was his debut with his shit gimmick, and then he got over, and then he, you know, became The Rock, and then immediately afterwards, without fading to black or anything, they then showed the exact same thing, but as Drew McIntyre.
So they tend to do this thing where they'll show you a date and footage with a filter over it, and they'll go, boom, and they'll do one piano key, and then they'll hang there, and then they'll move into the meat of it. And they did that for 1995 in Survivor Series. And then once that bit was over with The Rock, it was, and 2009, it's like Drew McIntyre is on top of the world as a young up-and-comer, and it's like, it made him, it, at best, it implied he was accepting the mantle of the Great One and becoming The Rock.
Yes.
You know?
It also maybe seemed like they were going to be feuding.
There was some sort of a theory that we were kicking around as well, but perhaps the egg contained the new Rock, and yep, that this was up on Drew to bring it into the world, maybe.
To slice open with his big sword.
So we had, like, good character-building videos, which on a night that had very little storyline to it, I thought that was a really smart idea. You know, I thought I could do with that. Most times there's a pay-per-view where you come back to it and the storylines feel kind of... You know, we hadn't watched Crown Jewel, so it felt like this was coming back and getting a little pat on the back and saying, look, these are all the top stars.
Yeah.
I could have done with that with for other people as well, maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it just happened to be the case that the three people they chose were people whose careers I'm quite familiar with.
And they'd already wrestled in the evening as well.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't have thought made much sense, but there you go.
Like, I don't really like Austin Theory, but, like, I don't know anything about his wrestling career. So something like that about him probably would have helped me a bit.
Yeah, because as it stands, allegations are all you've got to hang your hat on.
Yeah, exactly.
What we know about this man, who I will remind us, was already on pay-per-view at WrestleMania, WrestleMania Pandemic, that one. He was on that match, on that card, I should say.
Non-canon.
Non-canon. Starting things off with easily the most anticipated, the most hard-hitting, and the most dramatic match of the entire evening, which was when the Raw Women's Champion went head-to-head with the SmackDown Women's Champion, as Becky Lynch took on Charlotte Flair. And these two have been tearing strips out of each other in interviews and backstage drama, trying to exchange belts, dropping belts, messing everything up, all sorts of drama. What's your read on the Charlotte-Becky drama? Because for me, I think this is just them leaning into a little bit and doing a little bit of, like, a little bit of business.
I mean, know? I've not seen the thing that apparently started all of this with the alleged belt dropping.
Well, that's been cut, like, they edited it off the replays in the show,
Which I don't understand why they would do that, because, like, if you're trying to lean into this real-life heat, why would you not include the bit that actually caused the drama in the first place?
I think because the bit that caused the drama in the first place involves a thing that Vince historically hates, which
right,
is belts
belt
being thrown on the ground
the floor
and being disparaged and all that, so... Apparently, okay, Charlotte is... You know, a terrible backstage reputation. Everyone who was her friend now resents her.
So what does that actually mean? Because backstage reputation can mean so many different things depending on who you are, what race you are.
Yeah, and as Charlotte has pointed out, half the things that she's been accused of if she was a man probably wouldn't have been considered, you know, an issue at all.
So what exactly? Because I know that she's just being generally surly.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is... You know, so what?
Yeah, a lot of people have done that.
Yeah.
Men and women in wrestling have done that, you
know. Yeah, and I think when you're that good, you can get away with being a bit of a prick.
Yeah, I would say that Charlotte Flair, and I mean, I very much tried to, you know, this is never rigging personal endorsements of any of these complicated, fucked up people.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a performer, that's someone I want to watch in my wrestling show, Charlotte's one of the best.
She is, yeah.
And I believe as a result of that, in the same way that when, you know, and this is a direct comparison, but, you know, Sean and Brett, for instance, both people who rub people the wrong way and had bad backstage reputations for very different reasons.
Mm.
But as far as I'm concerned, I don't give a shit as long as what I'm seeing on my TV screen is good.
Yeah, so you long know. As they're, like, not actively hurting people.
And
stuff.
There's obviously people behind the scenes pulling on strings
for
and
sure.
needling each other and all that. But for her, it's apparently... finishes of matches, she's very, 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 very protective and very pernickety, and she won't let herself lose matches a certain way or won't
that's
lose to certain
okay,
people.
Though.
Again, I think you were saying to me, like, if it was a, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, even, it would have been.
Yeah, like,
not,
I don't.
No blinked an eyelid.
I don't think it's quite. I completely understand where she's coming from by saying that she would get away with it if she was a man. And I think, you know, to a point, that's true. If she was an equivalent male star. Now she probably would get away with this stuff, because, like, you've got Brock Lesnar and he's a piece of shit and he gets away with all sorts, and, you know, Seth Rollins, he's a piece of shit and he gets away with all sorts as well. But, like, I don't think it's automatically given that if you are a man, you can act like that now. And lots of men...
Have you seen the 70 men they fucking released or whatever it is in the last few months?
Like, Leo Rush just, like, stood his own ground. Absolutely. And was told, like, immediately, well, you can't work with him. He's completely unreasonable.
And I think as well, Charlotte, you know, it's not to blame on her. They have promoted her in this way. They have... dropped a rocket to the Flair legacy and dynasty and made it, you know, the Flair legacy, even in spite of everything he's done and is fucking determined to do with his shitty shock jock podcast and his MAGA appearances, it still means more than a lot of things in wrestling, and it has been embellished on top of that, and she treats that very seriously. She's very protective of her father and the legacy. I think Becky Lynch, I genuinely don't think that she is fucking anguished and her friend has betrayed her and she's fucking, oh, isn't it so horrible how we act now, and you know, we're just sniping at each other. I think Becky knows exactly what to do to get a reaction out of people, and that's what she does. She just sits back and she lobs these things with a smile on her face. I don't particularly like it. Like, I honestly, seeing these two, like, it had a big fight feel, and that's why I like the most about it. I could care less about their thousands of interviews that they've done with each other at this point. I think they got to the point with this real-life drama where it actually made me actively uninterested in the fake drama of the wrestling match. Because all I was thinking about going into this was like, ooh, will they be able to wrestle well? And then they did, but it's like, you lowered my expectations by having all this needless drama, and then I ended up enjoying the match. Like, that's not the best way to build up a match between two of the biggest, if not the two biggest stars in the company that they have on the active roster.
Yeah.
But it was a really good match, I thought.
It was a really good match, yeah. It was.
Best thing on the card by leaps and bounds, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. It was a proper hard-hitting, like, technical brawl.
Yeah, like, they wanted to tear strips from each other, it felt like. I feel every single time I see Becky, I'm further from, from her as a fan now, you know? I don't like that fucking AR graphic. I think it's...
I hate it.
I know. It's saying, like... She was included in one of the clips with her beside The Rock. And I get the comparison, because The Rock would be like, you know, here's my new catchphrase this week. And when the product's not hot and someone's out every week with the new catchphrase and the new moniker and Big Time Bex and all that, I just thought... It was a bit cringe, like...
For sure.
You know?
Is it supposed to be cringe? Because I know she's a heel now.
No way. It's not meant to be cringe.
It's just like the fact that she's kind of doing really similar stuff to Seth. And Seth's a heel.
The big silly fucking... Can you imagine their wardrobe with the big silly fucking coats? I know, all the fur-lined coats.
You got the
VIP next day delivery from Boohoo and Nasty Gal, haven't you? Yeah, surprise, surprise. It's just... I don't know, like... It couldn't take away from the match itself, because, you know, I thought they looked... like, they're on the best form of their career. They're both in the best shape they'd ever been in. I loved the outfits on both of them.
Yeah, Becky's. My God, the entrance wear, yes.
But I still do find one or two things with Becky. Like, you know, I think this might be out before a CM Punk episode right at the same time, but I think a lot of the stuff with Becky's style, where it's like, if you're not 100% on board with her character, I'm left watching her do some of these, like, there's a lot of stuff in this match that felt like it was kind of ships passing in the night. And that extended to, you know, Charlotte and her big moonsault where they weren't within an arse's roar of each other. And then they're like, I'm the best in the world. And it's like, you know, if your personal animosity is getting to the point where there's mistimings and stuff like that, and maybe they could be working better even if they were not staring, you know, hating each other and trying to tear each other down. I don't know. I felt like it was an excellent match, but... I felt that it was being held back somehow a little bit by this drama, you know?
I just think it was hard not having, like, a face in this match. It was heel versus heel, and, like,
Like, Charlotte's the obvious out of the two of them. She's more the heel than Becky, because Becky played more of a face in the actual match.
Yeah, she definitely did. Like, Becky felt like the underdog in this match. Like, she couldn't quite keep up with Charlotte.
But I feel like all that Becky and Charlotte have been doing is slowly removing the kind of intrigue behind Bianca Belair. And, like, I feel like they've pushed these two at such a level now that anyone who works with them is kind of just seems less than. Like, Liv Morgan is apparently going to get a shot against Becky Lynch.
Okay.
And, like, I hope they do something with it. I honestly do. But it feels like Becky's in another universe to these other women that they have on the show at the moment.
How do you mean?
Isn't, like, she is pushed as this altogether much bigger star, much bigger entity. And I don't think that, like, if you look at the women who were in the Survivor Series match, I didn't see anyone on either team who was a viable contender for Becky. Maybe Sasha, maybe Bianca.
Yeah.
And that's saying something, like, you know. But yeah, I mean, still an excellent match, and the crowd were super into it. I felt that the finger was on the fake crowd noise button on this one.
Yeah, we had lots of "this is awesome" chants, which I'm not saying they definitely are fake, the chants.
I mean, they did chant "this is awesome" like, themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You could see them. But it was just the way that they suddenly started. Like, normally when you hear crowd chants, you hear it in like one part of the arena and then it spreads. Whereas this was suddenly like, "this is awesome,"
arena-wide,
like, out of
clear.
Nowhere.
And I recognize some of those Thunderdome sounds, you know. You could see the crowd, they got more quiet as the night went on and more restless.
I think that's the risk as well when you're pumping in crowd sounds, is that it's probably going to mean that the crowd themselves go like, oh well, you know, there's lots of noise being made, so I don't actually need to, you know, I probably can't hear myself much anyway.
You're making the audience feel like me in my recorder recital when I was a youngster, like, I can do anything. Any else shit, no one's going to notice, like. So Becky picked up the win. They did the kind of finish where, you know, both with heelish tendencies, Charlotte tried to use the ropes to roll up Becky, and then Becky, with the referee's back turned, managed to grab the ropes the last second. So, great negotiated finish, because I was convinced they were going to do some double DQ countout bollocks. This should have been the main event as well.
Yeah, should have been.
Nothing had any right, unless The Rock was coming on later, they had no right to not put this
but
in.
But you
events.
Know, I think that's why they did it, because they wanted everyone to think The
you've
Rock
already
come.
Got their ticket money. Like, you've already got our subscription.
I know, but they want people to stay in the arena for the whole of the show. They don't want people to walk out.
Yeah, well, they managed to do that, because apparently there were people in the arena who stayed like after the show was over, like just waiting, like
Rocky.
Maybe he's gonna come. Who knows?
Yeah.
Coming up next, 5-on-5, Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series Men's Elimination Match rolls off the tongue. Many of these competitors were on the other brand last month. I think I could actually also say the majority of these competitors were on another brand last month. But we had Team Raw, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, who didn't participate in the match.
Oh, as well, I know you mentioned his TitanTron not having keep on fighting.
Oh yeah, keep fighting.
Was on his t-shirt though.
Just keep fighting. Yeah, just keep fighting. Only a couple more weeks left, big man. It's all right. We also had Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory rounding out the team. They took on Team SmackDown, which was Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, crownless, so he kind of looked like a French Duke. Happy Corbin with Madcap Moss in his corner, and Sheamus, who has got a new mate, Ridge Holland, who did not appear. The rules regarding managers were all over the place.
MVP came out with Bobby Lashley, but then he left.
But Madcap Moss in the mix.
He was there, which you thought would give Baron Corbin an advantage, but he was the first one out.
Yeah, what do you think of Happy Corbin?
He's okay. He's got a hat.
He's happy, and he's got a friend called Madcap Moss.
I don't like his friend. I don't...
It's not as deep and not as many avenues that you can go as that weird kind of borderline Mankind Corbin we had at SummerSlam. You know?
Yeah, I just think, like, you know, because you were trying to explain to me why he has Madcap Moss. You were like, well, you know, he won money at the casinos.
The idea
so now
is
he's got
a
friend.
He wants a mate around all the time, so he pays this guy money just to be like, hey, he's funny, this guy. Look at him over there,
but,
the
like,
funny guy.
Really? If you were in that position, you wouldn't just have one random guy.
No, you'd have a couple of guys.
You'd have a couple of guys and a hot babe.
You would have Knights of the Lone Wolf is what you'd have, Joe. Yeah, get me the guys back on the horn. Let's see if they're. Let's see. Jackson Ryker could come back into the fold. Maybe the whole Forgotten Sons. Imagine that. Like, you want to have a good night out, you just pay the Forgotten Sons money. Tell me stories about how you felt left behind after the Iraq War. Good time. Oh, they're all gone now, unfortunately.
Yes.
I think there's not enough people left for him to have an entourage.
No.
But if anyone ever deserved it, like a weird ECW, like 5 or 6 random shaped size people group.
Just
it's this.
Yeah, like hangers on, they're there for the money.
Yeah, I think that would have been a great
idea.
It'd
been really good. It'd been really, really interesting to see.
I mean, this was a match which had absolutely no stakes whatsoever, like at all. And so obviously as a result, it was very difficult to get into it beyond seeing the individual interactions of people you happen to like. And I thought it was a failure for the most part, because any 5-on-5 Survivor Series match that did have a new face in it, Austin Theory. Like, you know, I mean, he is the designated new face. But how come the vast majority of this match came down to fucking Jeff Hardy versus the world? Why does this keep happening on pay-per-view?
Because they love Jeff Hardy. The fans absolutely love him. Did you not hear them chanting for him?
They were well into Jeff. Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. Those are the two names tonight. And Roman. He got the reaction as well. I don't know how many million times we've seen Seth Rollins be like the last guy in a Survivor Series match. He's wearing different coats very often, I guess.
Yeah.
But he was here with Jeff this time. Jeff was brought in.
More importantly, he was here with Jeff this time. Let's be honest. Jeff is the rub. Jeff is who we came to see.
I just like, they don't treat him like that on TV. They really don't.
No, they don't. But I feel like there's so many times with wrestling where they have like these superstars that the crowd is really into and the WWE doesn't give a shit about. And the crowd go wild for them. And then everybody's like, nah, let's bury them now. But instead they're like, yay, Jeff Hardy. Everyone loves him. I mean, he got more of a pop almost than The Rock.
Yeah. Well, The Rock wasn't here. So it's not a fair comparison.
No,
we need a Jeff Hardy video to compare that.
But I feel like Jeff Hardy was maybe given as some kind of like consolation prize.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I guess, look, there's no story in this match. There's no consequence. So having Jeff in there, at least the fans were reacting to it. Like, that was it. They were reacting to the bit in the end. And I think that was the one thing that they had in this match that maybe the women's match was struggling with, was having someone that the fans were invested in, like, all the way through to the stretch at the end. So, yeah, they were happy for Jeff. They did a good job of keeping, like, Bobby and Drew, you know, kind of important seeming by having them eliminated by countout. But it felt like if you have three people eliminated by countout in one match, that's a little bit much. So it was very serviceable, entirely missable, and absolutely without any necessity to watch this. It's like this was a match designed for you to be on your phone during, it felt like.
Who actually won this?
It was Raw won it in the end, with Seth picking up the victory for his team. So,
and is there any kind of like outcome?
No. the losing team had to show up for an egg investigation, I guess.
I thought everyone had to.
So yeah, there was nothing at risk here. There wasn't even bragging rights, I guess.
Wow, shit.
Coming up next, The Rock's 25th anniversary 25-man dual-branded battle royale sponsored by Pizza Hut Triple Box. Because when I eat two 12-inch pizzas, the next thing I want to polish that all off is a fucking tray of cinnamon swirls.
I love when I order a meal and the meal just comes in like, and just, they just fuck it in a box. They're just like, shove it all in a box, the sweet and the savory all together.
Can you put my drink in there as well so it gets nice and hot, please? Thank you very much.
So the food gets cold and the drink gets hot. That's the way I like it, baby.
Wrestling can advertise food. We have seen it in the past. Usually it's the announcers where they're like, look, it's the new KFC available. And Jerry Lawler's like, eat this. And they cut away quickly.
A heart attack.
Yeah. Jesus.
I'm sorry, we've just recorded the CM Punk episode and now Jerry Lawler having a heart attack is right in the top of my mind.
CM Punk and Paul Heyman say it's fair game. In your mind, it means it's fair game.
Like, they set a precedent there.
Don't have any ashes with my parents around in or anything like that. We'll see what happens next. Or it'll be like big bottles of bright green nuclear waste that Michael Cole and Byron Saxton are allegedly sipping in between matches. But my God, these 25 men had to work the fucking pizza into this match.
Yeah.
Spot after spot. We had the absolute dirt worst angle where you had Otis, who's meant to have this new gimmick where he's Alpha Academy and he's heel. They literally said R-Truth give him a piece of pizza and he was eating it and rubbing his belly.
He's supposed to be a heel.
I think so. It'd be more serious.
Fucking hell.
But like the belly rubbing stuff, I just thought, and like just eating it like an idiot, like, you know.
It was just like, you know, because like Otis has, you know, in his career, he has made reference to the fact that he likes to eat. There's nothing wrong with that. If it's like,
steaks,
you know,
and weights,
if it's you doing it by choice because it's what you like, then that's fine. But it just didn't feel like a fun thing that he was choosing to do. It felt like, I can't remember who it was, but someone.
Or Truth gave it to him, I think.
Right, they went out and got the pizza and then were like, just shoved it at him and was like, here, you eat this. Ha ha ha. Because, I don't know, you're fat, I guess. And then he had to like smack his tummy
because they did the thing where like they gave it to Amas and Amas is like, get that shit out of here, I'm a serious athlete, unlike this guy over here
who, yeah,
you know. And like, you can do it, there's a way to do it, you know. And I like that Otis likes food, there's nothing wrong with that, but like, you don't make him look like he's a food obsessed moron
or like he's being, I don't know, it just felt like to me, it just felt like being at school, yeah. and then like the one fat kid being like pressured into doing something to do
this
with food.
This is what I make a fool of myself for you. Yeah. Like, do your dance for the court. Like.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you should have done. It's like you always do like a big power move, and then he sees a piece of pizza and he takes a bite out of it, and then as he's chewing on it, he throws someone over the top rope with the piece
that
in his
be
mouth.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You get it over. You get the fucking product in if you must. But like, if I was Pizza Hut, I wouldn't have been happy with this because that pizza looked minging.
The pizza looked minging.
It's cold.
I really thought they'd have someone there to kind of design the food that they'd use in this segment because I can only imagine they paid a lot of money for this.
Yeah.
And then the pizza looked like cardboard.
It was not perceived in its best light, particularly when you're throwing it into the crowd and it was just like a fucking... Yeah, I know.
Boomerang.
I love nothing more than making a nice big meal for people and then, like, they enjoy it so much they kind of lose themselves a little bit in it.
They forget to speak.
Like, I've great memories of, like, recording, you know, and having people around where we're about to record and everyone's just silently eating, you know, a mac and cheese or a roast chicken because we're just tired and hungry and it's great. But if I ever saw anyone eat any of my food with the unhinged manic intensity that the Street Profits inserted this pizza. They didn't eat it. They put it in their bodies.
Montez Ford took the tiniest little nibble of the very, very corner.
That's his treat day for this year, Joe.
Pulled a face. And he's like, I can't eat my favourite food now this week because I ate that tiny corner of pizza.
And Dawkins, who just was giving off big, I wish I was stoned energy because he was just fucking...
He was being a good sport about it, at least. He was actually eating the pizza.
So I got my wish in this one, which is Omas came head-to-head with Dabakato, him and Commander Aziz wearing their t-shirts. Everyone was wearing their t-shirts as well. And Omas won the Battle Royale.
Didn't I say that, though? Before, when you announced that he was in this Battle Royale, I was like, right, well, he's winning then, because he literally can't go over the top rope.
Yeah, it's like the Iron Sheik thing from WrestleMania 17, you know? He who cannot leave the ring will win the Battle Royale.
Exactly.
So Omas, thank you, The Rock, for sharing your 25-man, 25-year branded Battle Royale with some much-needed pizza. Because The Rock, you know, famously would talk about pie, and pizza is a pie of a sort, I guess. Mm. So he wouldn't have minded that. It was rubbish.
Yeah, it's crap.
The next match, tag titles versus tag titles. The Usos, representing the Bloodline, took on RK-Bro, representing Randy Orton. I'm not going to lie, there are people who are up in arms about this, but it makes it really, really funny to me that Randy Orton, on his 177th record-breaking pay-per-view performance, with the stud fucking Matt Riddle, who they're shining up meant to be the next guy. Matt Riddle's in his mid-30s as well, by the way. He's not a young youngster anymore.
No.
You know, he's in the prime of his career. And this lad Riddle, all he did in this match was take moves and get beat up. And honestly, you know, we've seen him live back in the day, if you remember, you know, before he hit the scene. We watched him in NXT as well.
Yeah.
I remember his stuff looking better than this.
And sounding better than this as well.
And look, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, you could go back to previous episodes. We've talked at length about our issues with Riddle. I'm talking solely now about in the ring. But you're right, sound-wise.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear them big smacks. I want to hear the fucking foot to face bang. That's what it's all about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. When he was first signed, like the whole appeal of him was like he was a bit like Brock Lesnar, and that you weren't sure how much of what he was doing was like for real.
Yeah, he's going to be this super fucking OP MMA dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I felt like almost everything he did looked really kind of play fighting, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just a bit of career longevity there. You know, do less hard-hitting stuff. But it just felt like either the Usos weren't working well with him, or we didn't want him to shine too much before Randy came in for the one big move in the match, which was Randy catching the Usos out of the air for the big RKO for his special 177th pay-per-view match.
Part of me wonders if Randy Orton is, like, rubbing off on him in a bad way. Like, he's like, hey, Matt, no, you don't need to try so hard.
So, yeah, happy 177th pay-per-view match, Randy Orton.
Hooray! Congratulations, Randy Orton.
Hey.
We're all very proud of you.
You can make it to 200?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, some even younger guy will get beat up even more for him on that day. Right, coming up next, 5-on-5 Women's Survivor Series match as Team Raw, which was Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina who received an apology from Vince McMahon personally from not being allowed to appear on the 9/11 tribute show, which she wanted to work in tribute to her father. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. People don't know the full story. They read the dirt sheets. They don't know that Vince McMahon said sorry. So
yeah,
there you go.
It's all fine now.
And they took on Team SmackDown: Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm. So a couple of rarely cited women on the show here tonight, including Toni Storm, who I think has been on SmackDown maybe two or three times,
she feels like.
She gets
farmed out every so often, normally at Survivor Series, to be like, oh yeah, we have this lady.
Yeah, because she was on the NXT team last in 2019. Shotzi, who, honestly, in that period where I had not been watching NXT, if there was one name where I would see and I would be like, oh wow, you know, big stuff coming her way.
Yeah.
I thought it was her because she's got a cool look.
Yeah.
She's got a tank. She's got fucking horns helmet.
Yeah, and the horned helmet as well. Wasn't that like her dad's or something? Or
yeah, it was something. It was very much beloved because I remember that when it went missing, there was this whole thing about that. And you know, she's Filipino, so there's not many Filipino wrestlers. You know, she's got a lot going for her. And specifically as well, the fact that she's the cool, bright-coloured, alternative girl who comes out in a tank with a cool hat.
She's got green hair.
I'd be making toys out of that. And if I was a kid, I would have been buying toys like that. Which is why she's heel.
Yeah, she's heel now.
And she hates Sasha Banks.
Yep.
And that was one of the main stories of this, is that she was the most generic goddamn heel ever. Like, she would just, like, push Sasha and be like, get out of my way, Sasha!
And Sasha's a heel now as well, right?
She's more of a face now.
Really? Because on
that kind of heelish face, kind of, you know.
On commentary, they were like, Sasha's never met a back she wouldn't stab.
But she's meant to be kind of like lovable heel, I think.
Right.
In the same way that I think Charlotte and Becky are also meant to be that. I think if you're one of the four horsewomen, you don't get defined as heel or face.
Right, you're beyond that. You transcend heel or face.
So yeah, I thought it was a great misfire with Shotzi because there were so many times where she was like, I'll tag myself in, Sasha! And then other times that her and Sasha would be in the ring together and there would be no interaction.
Yeah.
And seeing as the finish for Sasha came for Shotzi and the baddies deciding they wanted her out of the match and they kept pulling her out of the ring to make her get counted out.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that because I'm a pedant and when you go into the ring like that, the count gets broken. So the fact she went in four times.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Should have restarted that count is what they should have done. A lot of great women here who have not maybe benefited from a lot of great storytelling.
Yes.
Or featured that much.
Shayna Baszler.
Yeah. When Shayna Baszler came out, Michael Cole goes, Shayna said to me last week, people are forgetting how dangerous I am. Yep.
Don't remind us.
She didn't really remind us much in this match.
And Queen Zelina, she just has like the same Titantron as King Woods.
Yeah, which says Queen Zelina.
Yeah.
I liked that she was waving the whole time. That was funny.
I liked that, but I felt that she, like, I wanted her to be able to go further with it. Like, I think instead of being in the match, she should have just been distracted, like, going around waving at the fans and stuff.
Yeah, I like the idea of someone being so enamored by becoming a king or a queen that they're just like, just, you know, walking around nonstop. But, like, I thought there was a lot of, like, goofs in this match.
Yeah, a lot of goofs.
Because they wanted to do something with, like, Carmella and her mask. And, like, she went on to put it on, and then she's like, I'm not going to put it on. And then she just got beaten, and then it made out that it was Rhea Ripley's fault. I thought it was whatever they wanted to do, it didn't read at all. Fans were doing the wave.
Oh, yeah, forgot about the wave. It was very distracting.
Very distracting. There was a couple of CM Punk chants knocking around.
Really?
It was just like, you know, I don't know of the two companies what I prefer, where it's like one women's match that's like overbooked the fuck. Or this one where it's like you get a women's match where, you know, there's a lot of story going into it. And then this one where it's just like, I mean, but the same could have been said for the men's Survivor Series match.
Yeah, I think Survivor Series just is a flawed concept at this point because there's no difference between the two brands.
The lack of star power and not the skills and abilities of the wrestlers, but just them being presented as stars. Like Rhea Ripley lost here, I thought. And she was main event in WrestleMania with Charlotte and whatnot recently.
Bianca came off really well.
Yeah, Bianca, and when Sasha and Bianca came in, They literally broke the wave. The
it was
wave
amazing,
stopped.
Yeah.
And that was what wanted people wanted to see.
And that, oh, I mean, it was so good, just the bit we did see. I really want to see a proper match between those two because they have great chemistry.
They're on separate brands. So the one thing they build towards, you're not going to see.
I'm not going to see it.
So, yeah. Right.
Thanks, Vince.
I thought it was cool to have Bianca be like the sole survivor. She needed something after having her lose over and over again to Charlotte and Becky.
Mm.
So that was cool, you know, but just particularly noteworthy was the two newbies in here in this match, the relative newbies, like Toni Storm. Like, she looked like, you were saying, like she looked like a lot of the other people on the screen, and seeing as she's one of the people who's got, from I remember seeing her on the indies, she had a redefined gimmick, the Toni Storm. She was like the rocker girl and had this distinct look, and she just felt like kind of a bit lost there in the shuffle.
I think it's because quite a lot of the women in WWE now have this like blonde hair but alternative girl look to them.
Yeah.
Where they kind of wear similar ring gear.
Yeah.
Like Toni Storm is very, she's very noticeable when she comes out.
But having her with Liv Morgan, they're wearing the same gear. Like one's from Australia, that's kind of, but like in terms of the character, they said that Liv Morgan, her heart was pure fire, which sounded horrible. Like
that sounds painful. It's got heartburn.
So yeah, the finish was Bianca managing to hold her own against the heels, who decided to eliminate their own teammate. But this was a long match. The crowd got very bored. We didn't start a wave in the house, but
because there was only, well, you were up by yourself at this point.
Yeah, I wasn't doing the one man wave downstairs. Like, so main event, I was very excited for this one in spite of everything, because someone actually sent me a clip from like 2012 or 13 way back, and I was like, did you know the two people who Vince McMahon wanted to be the top star? It was Roman Reigns and Big E.
Yeah.
And that was like when Roman was being like actively groomed and Big E felt like a little bit more of an afterthought.
Yeah.
And here they both are now. One's WWE champion and one's Universal champion. And one gets involved in an egg storyline and the other one doesn't. I appreciate they did the whole thing with Roman taking Woods' crown and all that. I thought that was a little bit of story.
Stamping on the crown. I liked that. It was very fun to watch him stamp the crown. It looked satisfying.
I kind of want to do that. You know?
I want to see an ASMR video of crown stomping.
And just the few shots of Roman wearing the crown was good.
Mm.
But honestly, this match, it did nothing for me, really.
It was because it was like very obvious what the outcome would be.
Yeah.
Like, we all knew Roman was going to win.
And Big E didn't bring like a fire or anything. Like, he didn't make you believe that was going to change.
No.
Like, it felt like a foregone conclusion. Mm. The crowd got real quiet in this one.
Yeah.
As quiet as they've ever gotten in Roman's. When he literally stood at one point, Roman, and was like, oh, no, Barclays, you ain't going to boo me like that. And they're like, are they,
Oh, yeah, we're
Oh, right, yeah.
Boo.
And he just started cutting a promo, and like the commentators were like, wow, I've never seen Roman Reigns just stop wrestling and talk to the crowd. But I think he realized like he was in headlock number three, and it's like, we need something to go here. I thought Pat McAfee, again, did a stellar job. Him and Roman Reigns are like a special team of hyperbole. But I think McAfee and Graves all at once.
Corey Graves is not needed. We've moved past the need for Corey Graves.
I felt like I was being cornered at a party by two very loud, very different men, like, who were very interested to tell me about the thing they like.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I thought, you know, if there was a match to have the Usos come out and the New Day, I thought we would have got a cool big,
that would have been,
you know,
amazing. Yeah. And then it could have ended in like kind of like a DQ or something.
Yeah. Or it would have even better if you gave me Bloodline versus the New Day for the main event. That would have felt like a big deal.
Yeah.
But this isn't
friendship over responsibility.
And responsibility. Yeah. I like that. We didn't get it though. No signing of Sir Kofi Kingston tonight.
No.
It's just a regular match. He beat him. That's it. There you go.
That's a shame. It's a real shame.
Big E's not had his, I don't know. I mean, I didn't catch Saudi, folks, but feel Big E is a main eventer in need of a main event right about now, you know, and feeding him to Roman Reigns. Just because it's the one time of the year that you say you have to do it, you don't have to do it.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Feels like Roman as well, with his character, he should have just gone, nah.
Yeah, I thought Roman would have wanted, like, seeing as this was going to be allegedly teasing him and The Rock, I wouldn't have done this in the main event in the absence of that. I think one of the reasons people got quiet is because they were expecting there to be this appearance or cameo video from The Rock or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was pretty flat. Not a great main event. And I thought WWE, this was one of the worst pay-per-views they've given up in a while.
Which I think we knew was going to be the case. Because the Survivor Series, which is, it always struggles. And I think, you know, especially with everything else that's going on, it's definitely going to struggle.
Yeah, I mean, look, we haven't even talked about releases. But, like, it often happens when there's been a big, big, big raft of releases that you can just kind of feel it. Like, it felt like the company, like, between the fucking clapping for Vince McMahon and just a lot of people who... Like, you wouldn't be feeling too good about yourself if you were getting no reaction tonight after they just fired people. Like, John Morrison's gone. Keith Lee's gone. All these big names who, like, you know, Ember Moon, names who got big reactions. I'd be fucking terrified if I was on that roster right now and I'm out getting nothing on Survivor Series and more popular, less well-paid people are being fired.
Yeah, no, it's strange times. And I feel really bad for the talent in WWE because I can only imagine that they don't feel great about everything that's going on.
No, morale can't be particularly high.
No.
The one saving grace they have is that they do not have a pay-per-view to do in
the
rest
of
2021. It's 1st of January.
Day one.
What do you think? New Year's Day. I mean, you're up the night before anyway. You'll already be tired and kind of, you know, we'll all be a little bit fragile and hungover and stuff.
Yeah, I just... Selfishly, it's like, oh god, that means that our New Year's like celebrations where we have people over, it's gonna turn into like a wrestling show the next night.
Yeah, if you're here the next night at our New Year's party,
we're gonna have to watch that,
or we can just maybe watch it the next day. We had some people saying after a Full Gear review that that perhaps the way forward is brunch and wrestling the next day.
Well, that's kind of how I did Survivor Series this time.
You didn't need to stay up for... There was no point in staying up for these last two matches.
No.
They would have sent you right back to sleep.
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe we'll do mimosas and day one instead on day two.
I'd be down for that. That sounds fun.
Okay, yeah. If ever there was a time to do it, it's day one, you know?
Okay.
But who knows where we'll be at that point. More releases... More people have contracts coming up. Johnny Gargano, Kevin Owens, these are all...
God.
Please do not sign Johnny Gargano, AEW. Keep him down there in NXT. That's signing fine,
Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano.
To an exclusive one-hour deal where they can only wrestle one-hour cinematic matches against each other and no one else. Well, so when we join you next, it will be, of course, on pay-per-view for... Our day one show in January, which means December. It means the calendar is nice and open for us to maybe have some fun and do a pay-per-view classic and maybe some nice Christmas bits and bobs sprinkled in. If there's anything you'd like us particularly to do or to cover, do let us know in the comments below. But there's definitely going to be a vote up very shortly for another pay-per-view classic. I think you said you wanted some good old-fashioned Attitude Era fun, Joe.
I want something fun.
I think that sounds like a good shout. Mm. Particularly after this Survivor Series, we could do a little bit of a boost of the fun, you know? They were capable of doing it at one point, you know? Maybe we'll see what that Rock guy's all about that they're going on about.
No.
And don't forget as well, the CM Punk episode will be out very, very shortly as well, if not available already as you listen to this. Thank you for being a lovely $5 backer. Until next time, where we're going to be looking at some holiday hijinks, it's a goodbye from me, Kevin.
And a goodbye from me, Joe.
And we'll see you next time on How To Wrestling.
See ya.